A dozen children and assorted adults hover in the atrium, looking a little unsure. Then Jean Tagaban, a Tlingit Cherokee Filipino who grew up in Juneau, draws them in like a Pied Piper. He tells stories, some personal, some cultural, his face changing with each character. By the time he tells them about Raven the Trickster, he owns the room.
Raven had a plan. He was going to get the stars, moon, and sun for all the people. That child with the spirit of Raven put into the box in the corner of the house, the box that contained the stars, and he began to cry.
The American Indian Museum is different than the older Smithsonians that line the National Mall. They emphasize the objects in their collection and usually feature a scholarly take on what they mean. But when the American Indian Museum was finished nearly a decade ago, it was no longer cool to keep a living culture under glass and let outsiders do the interpreting. The museum has its detractors. A common complaint is that the displays are underwhelming and the explanations too skimpy. But its fans like that it lets Native Americans speak for themselves. Karen Lemmy came to the Tlingit Festival with her two kids. She's a curator at another Smithsonian and says this one always feels different.
For my children, I think it's better in a lot of ways because when I say we're going to the American Indian Museum, they get very excited because they know there's going to be something to do and it won't just be about looking into a glass case and trying to get an object to tell you its story by itself. It's about meeting people who are going to actually tell us a story, usually with music, usually with instruments or something unusual for them.
Shelley Laws is a master Tlingit weaver from Anchorage. She wraps herself in a Chilkat blanket in the museum atrium and tells stories she learned from her grandmother and uncle. She mesmerizes children with the swirl of the blanket's long fringe. She tells them it took her 6 years to weave it.
You'll feel how heavy it is? Oh, it's very warm. Very heavy. Yeah.
Laws takes the robe off and hurries to a craft table where a throng of kids is waiting for her to show them what to do with colorful yarn and plastic beads. She breaks out her reading glasses and gets them started.
We're making ear loops. They're Tlingit decoration, so women used to wear them instead of piercing their ears, and they would dance in them, and they were very fancy. And and you didn't have to pierce your ears. Not that they didn't pierce their lip or whatever else they did, but those are ear loops. So
the children and the adults they came with don't begin to plumb the depth of Laws' knowledge about Tlingit art and weaving techniques, but she doesn't mind. Between threading needles and cutting fringe, she happily answers basic questions.
Oh, that is so cool.
And let's finish yours,
too. Can you tell her again what people make this style? What ladies?
Tlingit people make this style. So Tlingit women, we are from Alaska and sometimes off the coast of Canada. And being fancy for dance was really important.
Can you say Tlingit?
Tlingit.
No, Tlingit.
Okay, so here's how you do it. Go like you're going to make an L. You know when you go L? Only don't go, go. And then go ing. Fling. Fling.
Tlingit.
Perfect.
Laws says the value of such a demonstration goes beyond yarn and beads.
Making ear loops is just a view of the fact that they're doing something, and maybe it's fun. And a lot of times, all the culture you see is differences in our culture, as opposed to what's fun about a culture. And seeing what's fun about a culture makes you more comfortable with the culture. And that's partially why I do it.
She recalls a few years ago when tolerance was the buzzword for living with multiple cultures. Laws says it always struck her as kind of grim, and she thinks events like this are more effective. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.